First time to ever be in this church, and appreciate the invitation. And I was thinking about, a lot of times when you have a large meeting like this with a lot of people, and you got several preachers lined up to preach, and we want to all be mindful of the time. And there used to be a man, when he would start preaching, he'd put a cough drop in his mouth, and whenever that cough drop dissolved, then he'd quit preaching. So one day he kept on and on and on preaching, and what had happened was he had put a marble in his mouth. So anyway, we want to be mindful of the time, and we know that if the Lord blesses, maybe the time can pass so quickly. And one time a little lady, she come through the handshake and told the preacher, said, "I'm telling you, that was the longest sermon that I've ever heard." And he said, "Well, how long did I preach?" And she said, "An hour and a half." He said, "No, ma'am, I went 30 minutes. She said, "Well, it seemed like an hour and a half." So, but anyway, appreciate the invitation, and good to meet all of you wonderful brethren, you preacher brethren. And I was so glad to hear this morning that Elder Tommy Roundtree is without sin. And so, now, anyway, brother, appreciate you. The text I have this morning is in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And it starts out in verse 12 is where I'm going to start. It said, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, said, I heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Then he says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people," he says, "if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." as we think and we see, you know, what's going on here in America at this time, you know, we see that we are getting further and further away from God's Word. The Bible is God's Word. I don't have to tell you that. I mean, all of you know that. I mean, if you didn't believe that the Bible was God's Word, you know, you wouldn't be here today. But there's a lot of people in the world that do not believe, you know, that the Bible is God's Word. And it seems like people are getting further and further and further away from the Bible. And the further we get away from the Bible, the worse condition that everything gets in. So we want to think in terms of the Bible, God's holy Word, the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Well, now, if you believe that, if you believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, you're out front on a lot of people in this world. And if you can believe that God created the heaven and the earth, you know, then you ought to accept by faith, you know, that the Bible is true from beginning to end.
Amen.
You know, there is a word, you know, that people use that becomes real popular out in the secular world, and it's a word called evolution. And it makes me sick. I'll just be honest with you. You know, people say, "Well, you know, brother so-and-so, you know, they have evolved." You know, that sounds like those old atheistic people that don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Say, "Well, evolved." You know, one time I'm not going to call any names, but it was one of my relatives or, you know, in-laws, and he got sort of trapped into having to come to church. He don't go to church. And so that morning I was preaching and he was sitting back there, and you know, I got on evolution, you know, about how silly and stupid you know, the theology of evolution is.
Amen.
And boy, when he left, he was mad. And he told his wife, he said, he knows that I believe in evolution. Well, I didn't know he was that stupid. But, you know, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know, that's case closed. You know, God, and he made all the things. He made all the animals. You know, he even made the sunshine. I mean, the sunshine. You know, it shines every day just about, doesn't it? And that thing has been going for 68 years, I know for a fact. It's been burning, and you know, when it'll burn until the Lord gets ready for it to stop.
That's right.
Because God made it.
Amen.
God made everything in the world, didn't he? He made all the animals, he made all the fish in the sea, and he made man.
That's right.
Formed him out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we see there that you know, that we have to reverence God. He's God the Creator. And, you know, but he says there, "If my people, which are called by my name," you know, he's talking about his people. You know, the Bible is written to God's children. I told a fellow that one time. I said, "Well, the Bible, you know, it's not written to the wicked." I said, "The Bible is written to God's children." He said, "Oh, but the wicked are the ones that need it." So, you know, maybe they do need it, but, you know, they don't believe it anyway, and they wouldn't believe it if you give it to them. So. But anyway, we see right here, we see that the, you know, the Bible is God's holy and inspired Word. And you believe that already. I don't have to tell you, but I'll read a scripture anyway. He says right here in 2 Peter, he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed." You know, we do well to take heed unto the Bible, God's Word. "You do well to teach your children The Bible is God's Word. And there is nothing wrong with teaching your little children to read the Bible and reading that Bible at home. You know, you don't have to proclaim that you're a preacher, but you know, you can teach them. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you're teaching them to admonish the Bible and to read and study the Bible, you know, then you're bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and bringing them to church. But he says, you do well to take heed to it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that nobody just sat down on their own will and said, well, I think I'll write the Bible.
Right. That's right, Brother Frank.
Said, well, I think I'll, you know, I heard a person say one time, you know, that of course they wasn't an old Baptist. They said, oh, they are finding books all time, you know, that are supposed to be in the Bible, you know, but they don't know where to put them now. That's not true.
That's right.
The Bible is the Bible. It's the word of prophecy. And we do well to take heed to it. He says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that nobody just decided to sit down and write something for the Bible. But it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the writers of this Bible, they were under the direction of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And also, and let's see what Timothy says about it. In the 2 Timothy, Paul is talking to the young preacher. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, that tells me that his mother or daddy or somebody was teaching him about the Bible. God's Word, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, isn't it a wonderful thing, you know, to see all of these little babies here this morning? This afternoon, you know, we got several little babies up at Wilson Creek Church in Triune, Tennessee, and you know, those little babies, a lot of times on Sunday morning, you know, they try to help me preach. But you know, that don't bother me.
Yeah.
I can get a little bit closer to the microphone.
Yes, sir.
Don't bother me. I love for them to be out there.
Amen.
And we love the sound of the little pitter-patter of the feet. So anyway, bring those little children to church. But he says, in that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he tells us, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible, that means the Lord actually breathed it in. It's given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. Say, oh, you mean the Bible? If I do things according to the Bible, you know, it's profitable to me in more ways than money. Several years ago, my wife and I, we bought a going business, a hairstyling salon. That was back in the days when they called them unisex salons. And so we had about 13 people working for us, and myself was 14. And, you know, I thought that I was going to become a millionaire. I mean, I thought I probably am going to get so rich, you know, that I can probably retire by the time I'm 40. I'm 68 and I'm still working. But anyway, there was a little old black woman that worked there that she was a cleanup lady. And she told me something, you know, that I look back, you know, that I wished I had done. You know, there's a country musician named John Conley that's got a song out on his new little album. You know, it says, some people say, well, I wouldn't change a thing. But he said he would. You know, there's a lot of things. You know, some people say, well, if I could live my whole life over, I wouldn't change a thing. Most of us would. And anyway, if you hear that song, it's like a little tearjerker. It kind of gets you in the heart. But anyway, that little black woman told me, she said, "You want this shop to do good?" I said, "Well, of course I do." She said, "Well, if you'll take and you give 10% of that to the Lord, it'll do good."
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do that. You know, but there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
You know, there. I mean, we're supposed to support the church.
Amen.
It makes you happy.
Yeah.
It makes you happy,
you
know, to support the church. But anyway, I didn't at that time. I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't into religion like I should be. You know, this is not a confession booth, but I'll just go ahead and fess up, you know. I just wasn't into it like I need to be, okay? But anyway, as I look back, I wonder what would have happened. You know, that would have probably been very profitable if I had been more in church and maybe had given 10% like that little lady said.
Yeah.
You know, it might have changed a lot of things along the way. But anyway, it says right here, it said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable.
Yeah.
It's profitable in more ways than one. But it says right here, it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In Psalm 127, he says right here, we're talking about the little children. He said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He says right here in Psalm 127, he said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." He said, "As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth." Then he says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." What does that mean? I think it means that if you take care of those little babies, that maybe when your time comes, when you get old, they'll probably take care of you. It says right here, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Is it only a fetus? Oh, we got a lot of things going on here in the United States right now, isn't it? Heard on the news the other day, a woman attacked another woman, and she cut a baby out of that woman's tummy and killed it. Now, this was in a state where they're not old Baptists. This was in a state where that they do not believe what the Bible says. Just tell it like it is. You know, they think that a baby is not a baby until it's born. You know, but the Bible disputes that. It says right here, the fruit of the womb is His reward. It's a baby. They couldn't charge her with murder because according to their theology, it wasn't a baby. They couldn't charge her with child abuse, you know, because according to their theology, you know, it wasn't a baby. So the only thing that they could charge her with was assault, assault upon the woman. I mean, you see how far and how terrible things get when you get away from God's Word. You see right here that the Lord told Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 4. Said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly." This is a person.
Right.
Not a fetus, a person. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee."
Yeah.
The Lord knows His children even before they're born. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." That was a person, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Bible says it. You know, I just love it. You know, sometimes I watch things on TV and I wish somebody would just say, "The Bible says."
Yeah.
They look like they're afraid to say that. You know, when the Lord was tempted of Satan for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, on every occasion, he whipped him by quoting a scripture out of the Bible.
That's right.
It is written. It is written, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It is written, the Bible says. Remember a few years ago, several years ago, we was in a church conference. Not at our church, this was at another church. But anyway, you know, sometimes in these conferences, you know, people, sometimes you have strong personalities and people disagree. And, you know, it was getting a little bit disagreeable there. And finally somebody spoke up and said, what does the Bible say about it? Do you know, everybody just calmed right down. The power, you know, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whipped the devil. It is written, the Bible says. He says, now let's go right on over here to another place here. In the book of Romans. See, I'm trying to prove to you, you know, that a baby is a baby.
That's right.
It's a baby before it's born. It's a baby when it's conceived.
Amen.
You know, tell the government, tell them, you know, a baby is a baby when it is conceived.
Amen.
Romans chapter 9, verse 11. He said, starting at 10, he said, and not only this, but Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. It says, for the children, my goodness, they were children, weren't they?
Amen.
They were children that were conceived. The Bible says it. It says, for the children being not yet born, they're children. Neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth.
Amen.
You know, we're talking about God's people, isn't we? You know, God had a people and he loved them before the foundation of the world, didn't he? Man was trying to convert me you know, to Mormonism. You might be some Mormons out there. I don't know. Hope it's not. But anyway, you know, he's trying to, you know, tell me all of these things, you know, and, you know, how that they're family oriented. And they are. Their ads on TV are beautiful. But, you know, I'm not a Mormon. I'm a Primitive Baptist. Primitive Baptist. That's all I know. That's all I ever want to know. It's good enough to live by. It's good enough to die by. And you know, one of the greatest things that anybody can ever say about you, and Brother Ronnie was bringing up something, touching on that a little bit this morning. When you're laid out there, you know, I hope that I've lived in such a way as to where people say, well, he was a good, godly man that followed, believed, and followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's one of the greatest compliments that anybody can ever give you. And oh, say he's an old Baptist. He's an old Baptist. That's good. That's fine with me. But anyway, he was telling me all this stuff. And I said, well, according as God, as he hath chosen him before, said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose his children before the foundation of the world. That was back before they were ever conceived, weren't they? In the mind and purpose of God. God knows everything, don't he? And I quoted that little verse there. I said, the Lord chose his children before the foundation of the world. I said, according he has chosen them in him before the foundation of the world. He said, that, you know that wouldn't be fair. It's the only fair way that it is. What would be fair? Saying, well, if you're smart enough to take advantage of an opportunity. Well, I've never been smart enough to take advantage of opportunities. And most of us are not. If we were, if we could, even in the secular world, if we were smart enough to take advantage of opportunities, we'd all be rich, wouldn't we? Say, well, Christ died on the cross and He gave you an opportunity. If you all you got to do is accept Him. Say, my, how can I do that? When God's Word, the Bible, already tells us, He said in John 6:44, no man can come to Me except it were given unto him of My Father. How are you going to do it without God? It's impossible, isn't it? But anyway, it says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, His children, the ones that are called My people. My people, His children. He said, and having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Why did He do it? The good pleasure of His will. He wanted to do it. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. We labor that we might be accepted of Him. I'm not worried about accepting Him. I'm worried that He accepts me. Because I was making a joke about being a sinner and all that. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't have any problem believing in depravity. All I got to do is look in the mirror, and I can believe in depravity. All I got to do is think about what I think about. Do you ever think about what you think about? You ever think about the thing that goes through your mind? There's a lot of evil that goes through people's minds. You might say, well, not mine. Well, there's a lot of evil that goes through all of us' mind. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We've got that fallen Adam nature. And when I look in the mirror, I see the one that causes me the most problem. And when I think about the things that go through my mind, it's easy for me to believe in the doctrine of depravity. But anyway, let's go on a little bit further. God's children say, well, if Christ is all that good, how can I get in Him? How can I, the people say, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. How does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about it? Well, right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Now that's one of the beauties of the Primitive Baptist Church. Nobody gets any glory. Nobody gets any glory. Not even the preacher. Old boy, he come by one time and he was wanting to sing. He got a beautiful voice. He wanted to come to our church and sing. I said, well, we don't let people perform in our church. Nobody performed. The only one that it sort of comes close to it is the preacher, and he's not supposed to be performing. He's supposed to be preaching God's Word. Nobody gets any glory except the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And He's the one say, well, you need to accept Him. Listen to how the Bible says that works. It says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? Of Him. God put you there. He says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Nobody gets any glory, do they? John chapter 17, verse 2. I know how many people is going to heaven. You know why I know that? The Bible tells me. The Bible tells me. And it's not all of those ones that's going to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's something bigger than that happened. Something that man has nothing to do with. He says right here, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Who has all the power? God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing else. People say, well, one religion is as good as another. It's not. It's not. It's not Hinduism. It's not Buddhism. And it's not Mohammedan. And, you know, you can say what you want to the Muslim people. If there's any Muslims out here, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only way that you can get to heaven. You have to be put in Jesus Christ by God. He said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. How many is going to be in heaven? As many as the Lord gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how many is going to be in heaven. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, his children, isn't it? His children. Said, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, there was a boy one time, or a man, you can call him a boy, a man, whatever he was. You know, it said a certain man had two sons. And one of them, the younger one, came to him and said, Father, give me my portion of the goods. Daddy, I want my inheritance. I want it right now. That's kind of unusual for somebody to give you the inheritance, you know, while they're still alive, isn't it? But his daddy gave him his inheritance. And, you know, he probably wanted to go out and marry a nice Primitive Baptist girl and have a bunch of little beautiful children and go to church every Sunday morning and start him a good, honest business and become very wealthy and, you know, all of that. Is that what he wanted to do? He didn't do that at all, did he? He said, I want my part of the inheritance. And his daddy gave it to him, and what did he do? He went over into a foreign country, didn't he? And began to waste it all. He said that he wasted it, you know, he wasted it on harlots and everything bad. Now, to some people, they say, well, the old boy went right straight to hell, didn't he? But anyway, you know, that's not the way the system works, is it? It's not a work. The old boy done some bad things. I mean, he wasted all of his money. And he begins to get hungry. A famine strikes. He's down in the hog pen. And he's admiring the hogs. I mean, if you ever get so low that you start admiring hogs, I mean, you're down and out, ain't you? He's watching them hogs eat, and, you know, he began thinking about the Father's house. He said, back in my Father's house, you know, they got plenty to eat. You know, this is the Father's house here, isn't it? And in my Father's house, you know, he said, you know, even the servants have got more than I do. And he said, well, you know, I think I know what I'll do. I'll arise and I'll go back to my father and I'll say, I'm not even worthy to be thy son. He sounds like an old Baptist showing the church, don't he? I'm not even worthy. I know I'm not even worthy to be a member, you know, but I'd like to join this church and I'd like to be baptized and I'd like to spend the rest of my life, trying to do what's right. And he goes back and his father sees him coming. His father is always a father. He was always a son.
That's right. Yes.
Didn't change, did he?
That's right. That's right. Amen.
He got himself in a mess. He was reaping what he sowed, wouldn't he?
That's right. That's right.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He was still his father's son.
That's right.
He goes back, and guess what? When he comes back, his father didn't say, get out of my house, you low-down scoundrel. You done wasted all of your inheritance. Get out of my sight. I don't want to see your face again. He didn't say that, did he? Saw him coming way off. He ran to him and he welcomed him with open arms. He put the robe upon him, put the ring on his finger, put the sandals on his feet, said, go and kill the fatted calf. The boy is back in the father's house, isn't he? So see, there is a way to turn things around, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
He tells us that if my people say, well, if things is in an awful mess, they get things in a terrible mess. But hey, if godly people start, when the wicked rule, the people mourn.
That's right.
But godly people, if we got godly people, doing things according to God's Bible, then the old prodigal son might come back home. And the father would probably welcome him with open arms.
Yeah.
Things would get a lot better, wouldn't it? He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need a healing in this land. God bless you,
brother. Amen. My heart is sing my praise. Bring the